Two men sit at a bar in rural America. Both keep quiet, keep to themselves. No one can remember exactly who bumped who said what first, but everyone will remember the aftermath. For it was this simple saloon that the result of Project X met the result of Project Rising Spirit. It was on this day that Wolverine squared off against Bloodshot. It's Experimental Soldier versus Experimental Soldier. It's the Psyop Killer versus Captain Canada. It's Bloodshot versus Wolverine today on
another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsy, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ray Stecanus. Ray, what's going on with you today? What is different?
I could not be more excited about this particular battle. I could not be less excited about this particular judge for this battle.
What, we're going there right away?
I may as well.
There's no witty repartee between us. We're just going to go right into the judge thing and just... Really?
I'll be honest, when we have this particular human being, and I say that loosely, in studio, let's just get right to it.
All right, fine.
I've been described as loosely a human before. Sure, that's fine.
That's also Ray's middle name. And we would like to welcome back to the show.
How? How do we keep booking this guy?
He's a friend of yours, I think. That's a loose definition and usage of the word friend. It's an associate.
Are you familiar with the term frenemy? I think that's fair.
Friend and fiend is just one letter difference.
Well, I would like
R.
Brent, we've had our disagreements, especially in regards to the Who Would Win show.
It's like I'm not even here.
It's fine. And what I would say right now is you have a chance to redeem yourself today. In the eyes of all of the public, you have a chance to get back Brent Pope's spirit, which clearly would be lost after some of the insane decisions that you put forward.
And Ray is getting bitter very quickly in this episode.
I went back and listened to both of the episodes I've moderated, and I just couldn't agree more with my decision either time.
And Brent Pope comes back with a great comment on his own. Let's see what Ray does.
You know, really what we need to do for one of these episodes is I will debate Brent Pope and James. Now, that won't work for me either. Why would I even suggest that?
Why would you think I would ever vote just purposely? That's exactly what I would do, Ray. I would have you lose. I'd say, and the loser of this battle is Ray. Let's hear their debate. So, Brent, you've been often described as one of the greatest actors of our generation.
That's a fact.
And that's actually often, that's how I describe you. I say there's Meryl Streep, Robert De Niro, Denzel Washington,
and Brent Pope,
who's greater than all of them combined. Yeah. Like, if you could combine all of those people, Brent Pope would still beat them in a fight. That's how awesome Brent Pope is. Brent, how have you been? How has your life changed since being a judge on the Who Would Win show?
Well, I've had to have a lot more interaction with Ray. So overall, it's been bad.
Oh, wow. You
know, although
I'm sad to say we're such a negative influence.
You know what I do love, though? Every time I moderate one of these shows, your fans are so passionate.
They are.
And they're so knowledgeable.
Yes.
And sometimes I just want to tell them, well, you're right about all the things you're saying. It's just that, like, somebody might have left out. I have to go on what you guys actually argue in front of me. You know what I mean?
I have seen you argue with the Twitter populace before over some of the decisions that you've made because they've been outrageous. But I will say, to your point, that is sometimes the people at home will be like, Ray left out blank argument, or James totally forgot about that. Guys, we left stuff out. We didn't forget anything. Okay. We do a ton of research to go into the show. We don't leave things out unless it's for time. The show has to be like an hour-ish long. If we were to sit here and just say everything all the time, we'd have 20 points each and it would be a 5-hour show.
Ray, also to that point, I know how your mind works, and as much as I make fun of you, because I do, I make fun of you every chance I can get.
I know, I'm here for it.
Brent and I had lunch the other day. Remember when we had lunch? Mm-hmm. It was great. We didn't invite Ray.
Wait, what? Yeah, what?
How much... Well, Ray, you weren't there. So what? How much did we make fun of Ray?
Well, we didn't invite Ray because we didn't want him there.
We wanted to have a good time.
Oh. Well, no, I guess that's right. We didn't want
Ray there.
We don't want Ray there.
But my whole point is that
I'm right here.
Ray, once you get here. So here's the thing. What I tell other listeners through, sometimes they try to DM me or what have you, is I say,
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Here's the deal. And Ray, tell me if you do this. I know that I, on purpose, leave certain points out because I know Ray's debating style. I know if I put in certain points, you'll be able to navigate that point and totally break it apart. And actually, it'll help your argument in front of a judge. So I'm like, I can't add that point because that'll actually help out Ray, or that'll take away from another point I'm trying to make. We're strategic, not just in our debates, but in what we use for the debates.
Yes.
100% true. I can say it's happened both ways. We will make a point that we think is an excellent point, not realizing that we're completely bringing something to the table to offer as a counterpoint for the opponent. And then the other person runs with it and makes three times the headway in the argument just because that was brought on the table. We've both done it. There it is.
So Brent, I'd like to bring something to your attention.
Okay.
you're what we call a magnificent human being.
Mm-hmm.
You'd agree. I'm sure that's been said about you many times as well.
Brent the Magnificent, that's what it says.
It's your business cards.
Yeah.
I've seen them.
Yeah. Ray, a couple episodes ago, said that I do something for my third point. I have some kind of magical spell I put on people.
I've cracked the code.
Yeah. And that I somehow use that spell to temporarily influence people to my side. I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
And did he quantify what that is? Or does he say it's just
James has a certain, and I've said it before, he has a certain, when he delivers his third point, he creates an intoxicating atmosphere around him that can very much make the judge go temporarily insane. It's how I assume that he's won both battles that you've judged so far, and that they just get taken on a journey. And if I don't cut through the nonsense and cut through the malarkey and I just let that journey happen as the last thing the judge hears, they're going to side with James 90% of the time, which is shocking because I should be winning 90% of the time.
What do you say about that, Brent?
I don't know. I just started to fall asleep while you said that.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
Now so, I'm awake again.
Oh, hey. Well, that's because we're... hey, how are you, man? That is sweet. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
That's nice. We have a connection.
We should go out for lunch.
Yeah, let's do that.
All of us, except for Ray.
Yeah. Everyone in this room except for Ray. We should go out for lunch.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
This episode of Who Would Win is brought to you by Valiant Entertainment, the biggest independent superhero universe in comics. Before Vin Diesel makes his big screen debut as Bloodshot, check out the Super Soldier's brand new series by Grayson writer Tim Seeley and fan favorite artist Brett Booth. Bloodshot number 1 goes on sale September 25th, so visit your local comic shop and tell them you want to pre-order a copy of the first action-packed issue.
So with all of that said, it's actually about that time for the battle. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing the Valiant Comics universe, the man so infused with technology that Google attempted to adopt him, Bloodshot. And representing the Marvel universe, hail to the leader, the best, the champion of the West, Wolverine.
Wait, the champion of the... He is from, like, I think he's from Alberta, Manitoba. That's kind of Midwest.
That was a Michigan Wolverines reference based on their great fight song, Hail to the Victors, a very classic fight song of college football history.
One of the greatest football teams in history. They were one of the best. When there was only four teams.
Correct.
They were one of the best.
They
were top five.
How dare you?
All right. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the official rules of a Who Would Win match. Rule number one, each debater will be able to make 3 points. Rule number two, the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with neither combatant necessarily knowing anything about their opponent or having any time to prepare for it. Rule number three, the exact version of the character has to be specifically stated. For example, if you're using Superman, you must specify if it's Superman from the films, animation, or comic books. Ray, which version of Wolverine are you using?
I mean, come on, folks. We got to do the comic book version. You're going to be bringing the heat with Bloodshot. This is a character I was not as familiar with coming into this battle, so I did plenty of research to try to figure it out. I'm curious where you're going to go with it. I will take comic book Wolverine because I need to bring the heat today.
That is a crazy opponent to try to overcome. So this is okay. I may have to rethink
it. Yes. Ray, I would like you to, as a judge, I would like you to just use Logan from the last 5 minutes of the Logan movie. Is that?
just where he's pinned to the car.
Yeah. He's impaled by a tree. It's that person versus Bloodshot.
Look, if you say you can't argue it, you can't argue it. I mean, you can just quit right now.
That's right.
Here's the deal. I wish I had done any research into that because I maybe would have tried to take you up on that. No, I will stick with my guns and go with comic book Wolverine.
Cool. I will go, obviously, with the comic book version of Bloodshot from Valiant Comics. Rule number four, the winner of the Who Would Win debate is whoever the judge decides has the best ability to incapacitate their opponent to the degree where they can safely walk away with no further threat being present. This includes completely destroying their opponent, removing them from the field of battle, restraining them, or knocking them out. The Who Would Win battles are not necessarily death matches. Rule number five, the judge can disallow or veto a point made by one of the debaters if they feel it goes outside of the scope of the battle or is irrelevant to the fight. And rule number six, each debater must use examples of powers, abilities, or weapons that are part of the specific character's continuity, or at least was with that character for a good deal of time. One-off examples of powers or abilities that were used only once in the character's history will not be allowed. And now, let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Today's tale of the tape is brought to you by Who Would Win t-shirts, except no imitations. Find the official Who Would Win shirts, all the new versions of them, by the way, on Amazon by typing in hashtag Who Would Win. Ray, please give us the details on Wolverine.
Wolverine is a powerful mutant who was first seen in The Incredible Hulk number 180 in 1974. He was created by Roy Thomas, Len Wein, and John Romita Sr. Wolverine is one of the most popular characters in all of Marvel Comics, as well as a forward-facing member of the X-Men. Wolverine's past is shrouded in mystery. He was born in the 1800s and served as a soldier. He's worked as a miner and even briefly employed by the circus at a various point in his life. As a mutant, Wolverine has a top level, maybe the highest level healing factor, as well as superhuman senses. As the product of experimentation by shadowy individuals, Wolverine has a full adamantium skeleton, adamantium being the strongest metal in history, as well as retractable adamantium claws. Fun fact, Wolverine, or Logan as he is known, family name, served in the 1st Canadian Parachute Battalion and stood alongside Captain America on D-Day. It is unclear exactly why Canadian parachutes were used in this mostly naval invasion, but there it is. That is Wolverine.
Wait, you've got something against Canadian parachutes.
Well, I just wonder, because my knowledge of D-Day, and maybe I didn't study in history class as well as I could, a bunch of boats showed up on the shore and dropped off a bunch of dudes. I don't remember Canadian airplanes dropping people from the sky during D-Day. Maybe that was the part of the history books that they don't want you to see.
Not a fan of they.
No.
Right?
They is bad.
Yes, they is bad. All right, well, here are the details for Bloodshot. Now, Bloodshot is a character from Valiant Comics and made his first appearance in Eternal Warriors number 4 back in November of 1992. Bloodshot is a former soldier with powers of regeneration and metamorphing made possible through nanites injected into his blood, hence the name Bloodshot. In Bloodshot's bloodstream, there contains a billion nanocomputers, enabling him to heal from injuries quickly, interface with technology, and shapeshift his mass. In addition, the nanites injected into his blood maximize his physicality, giving him superhuman strength, superhuman senses, and imbuing him with super speed, super agility, and super durability. The process that gave Bloodshot his powers also made him lose his memories. False memories were then implanted to manipulate and motivate him by the organization known as Project Rising Sun. Bloodshot would eventually break free of the mental control and influence of Project Rising Sun and begin living his own life, attempting to atone for his sins and figure out who he truly is. And here's an interesting fact about Bloodshot. Did you know that Bloodshot has an imaginary, or had an imaginary sidekick named Bloodsquirt? It's true. Bloodsquirt, otherwise known as the Squirt, is a hallucination created by Bloodshot's nanites. Typically, the hallucinations created by the nanites give health updates as well as try to guide Bloodshot in a positive manner. Despite looking like a cross between Batmite and Bloodshot, Bloodsquirt is mischievous and constantly encourages Bloodshot to be a ruthless and ultimate killing machine. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Brent, do you have any questions before we get started?
Well, I don't have a question so much as just kind of a statement. These characters seem... there's a lot of similarities.
There are.
So you're going to have to really accentuate what the differences are and why that difference is going to put your character over the top.
It's wild. It's something that I've preached before and many, many times. When we put these battles together,
I'm
a big fan of my Church of Rey, you know, is contrast of styles. I don't necessarily like having, you know, people say like Hawkeye versus Green Arrow, you know, who would win? It's sort of like, yeah, it's pedestrian. That's boring. That's the easy. Let's just find two people who are similar and have them fight each other. I am all about, you know, and I go back to Green Lantern versus Voldemort. What a cool battle that was, at least in my mind, because we have two wildly different characters coming from two wildly different places fighting each other. To me, that's where the fun of the show is. We have two characters remarkably similar to each other in power sets and backstory and what have you. And before, you know, we did a Harley Quinn versus Black Widow, as well as Swamp Thing versus Captain Planet. And they're just mirror images of each other. It's a matter of where can we find, to what you said, Brent, where do we find that 1% difference that can put us over the top? This battle will be no different. These are two heavy hitters with very similar backstories and very similar power sets. I cannot wait to destroy Bloodshot in this battle.
You know, the problem is I may have an unfair advantage. When you look at Ray, you throw up a little bit in your mouth. When you look at me, you realize I bring a lot emotionally and intellectually to the table. Plus, I'm also, being someone who was born and raised in Canada, may have an understanding of how Wolverine thinks.
Yeah, I was a little surprised you didn't take Wolverine this for your national pride.
Well, I assumed you were going to as well. I mean, honestly.
Well, here's the thing. I was born and raised in Canada, and no offense, Canada's a great... if you're born in Canada, you've won the lottery. But, you know, I live in L.A. I'm what you Americans call American. So that's who I am now. And, yeah, but I will take my knowledge of Canadianese and use that against Wolverine.
I guess that also makes sense. You know Wolverine very well, so...
yeah. Exactly. All right, let's go with point number one. Ray, what you got?
Well, let's first off talk about Wolverine's mutant powers. I mean, when dealing with Wolverine as a character that we're going to be doing for the Who Would Win show, one of the advantages, but maybe also disadvantages of the character, is that everybody sort of already knows what's up with this guy. So really, I'm going to be stating a lot of stuff, I believe, that is already on the record, already known, and I just want to make sure it's just put on the record of this episode. So that way, when I take my triumphant victory, it's basically just a matter of checking out boxes, right? His mutant powers. Wolverine's biggest power is the ability to have a healing factor. And other people have healing factors. Healing factor is not like a new thing or it's a very popular thing in heroes. But Wolverine maybe has the greatest healing factor. Maybe Deadpool came later and they gave Deadpool intentionally a bigger healing factor than Wolverine. But you got to really dig pretty hard to find somebody who can take the beatings, the cuttings, the decapitations, what have you, that Wolverine can take. Not that you can decapitate him, but you get the idea. And just keep coming back for more and just keep coming back over and over and over again. To that end, if the fight continues to last forever, Wolverine will eventually win. That is just the nature of how it works. So he's got the full-on mutant factor of the healing. On top of it, the experimentation. So with the Shadowy organization, because he had the healing factor, they said to themselves, let's rip open his body and take out all of his bones, and let's replace all of his bones with an adamantium skeleton. Adamantium in the Marvel Universe being literally an uncuttable metal, an unbreakable metal, the strongest substance known to the planet Earth. And he also had a bone, claws that would come out of his hands. They replaced those as well as a bone. They replaced it with adamantium, so he has super, super sharp adamantium claws that can cut through literally anything. He can cut people to ribbons in seconds. And the only thing maybe stopping it is other adamantium. But even then, like he's cut everything that I've been able to see. In every example I saw of his combats, it's just him tearing through people. And we'll have some amazing examples of that a little bit later. So let's combine the fact that he has the massive healing factor with the ridiculous adamantium skeleton. So a lot of damages are going to just stop. If you try to cut his head off, like I said, you can't decapitate him. You're going to hit the adamantium spine and you're going to stop. It's just not going to happen. Now, you can do all manner of other terrible things to him. In a Punisher comic I read of the Marvel Knights universe, Punisher straight up took a shotgun right to his face and blew away all of the skin on his face, just revealing the metal skeleton with the eyeballs behind. And it was hilarious. It was straight out of like a Daffy Duck cartoon. But that didn't stop him from fighting in the moment. He just got shocked for a moment like, oh, I can't believe you actually did that. Now I really have to hurt you. But Wolverine brings more to the table than just the durability and then the power. He has a super strength, super speed. I mean, that's just to be understood. He's a very, very fast combatic fighter, and he can basically pick people up and throw them around. I have an example of here. One time Wolverine picked up Colossus, very, very large fellow, made of metal. He picked him up and hit Juggernaut with Colossus. Like, this is crazy. The feats. If you look up feats, you might, outside of maybe Superman, Wolverine has the highest level feats that you're going to find. Maybe put Spider-Man in that category, too, of just the crazy things that they've done that were completely over the top. He also has great tracking sense, which is also very, very important, as well as enhanced senses. His powerful sense of smell and hearing and seeing is you're not going to sneak up on Wolverine. You're not going to do anything to him that he doesn't see coming. It's usually just, I'm going to tank this because it puts me in an advantageous position to hit you later. So all of these powers combined with the adamantium claws and skeleton make Wolverine an indomitable spirit. And that is my point number one.
May I make a rebuttal? Your judgeness?
Sure.
Okay.
Stop sucking up.
Ray, I will say this. I have noticed that you haven't been sucking up to me, telling me I'm good looking. And
I know better.
Kind of stuff. Yeah.
I tried that at first and it clearly did not work.
It does not work.
It does not work against a vendetta, unfortunately.
But I appreciate that. That's giving you points.
No, it's fair. There.
A lot of points or just make up
points.
To be fair, James, negative points
like
or points too.
He's not losing points.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right,
okay.
All right,
great.
All right, fair.
Okay. Couple of things in that episode, that comic book where Punisher blows off his face. I believe that was a Punisher Max series.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
That's not part of regular Marvel continuity, by the way. That's how much of a nerd I am. Points for that. Or maybe actually should deduct some now that I think about it. But I don't care because that doesn't really matter. It was a great comic. And I think he got pinned by a steamroller.
Yeah, that's what happened. He literally runs him over with a steamroller. And Wolverine says, you understand that I'm going to crawl out from under here and I can track you. And he goes, well, I believe it will take you 2 or 3 days. That should give me enough time to at least like lose the scent.
Yes. Right. And I think Punisher also shot Wolverine the no danger zone, as my kids call it.
Oh, yes, he did.
With that. Yeah. So
and I will say, I don't think bringing up any of that as I did helps me in my argument whatsoever.
No.
It's just one of my favorite Wolverine moments of all time, and I want to put it, because I love it too much.
It's awesome. It is awesome. Can't debate the other stuff. I will say there is a way theorized to decapitate Wolverine, which I will bring up later.
Okay, interesting.
But I can't argue with anything that you've said. He's deceptively strong, deceptively fast, the best at what he does, and what he does isn't very nice. Wolverine is awesome.
He's awesome.
He's awesome. All right, this is an uphill battle for me. This is an uphill, but I think Bloodshot has what it takes.
No, right. I will say right now, it is absolutely an uphill battle for you because you're dealing with an icon in Wolverine. That being said, I'm exceptionally nervous because I am not as familiar with Bloodshot, even through looking into him a little bit and learning what I learned. there is a whole pantheon out there that I would not have the time or ability to go through given the constraints of the show.
Oh, there's so volumes.
There's so much. Yeah. And I've started reading some Bloodshot. I bought it off of Amazon. It was suggested to me by, and you'd know his name.
Greg Katzman.
I'm just blanking on that.
Comics, yeah.
He's fantastic.
Great guy.
And I reached out to him and I was like, I want to know more. What should I buy? And he set me up with it. It's wonderful. And I just want to say I'm a fan, so I don't assume anything in this battle because I know there's a lot of the unknown unknowns will always get you in life.
That's true. Okay. With that being said, I want to go with point number one, unless our judge has anything to add.
No, I'd like you to just, yeah, I want to see what's going to happen next.
All right,
yeah.
Here we go. Okay. So there's a lot of similarities between the two characters, right? But yeah. Unfortunately, the similarities are kind of like a side effect of the nanites, the billions and billions of little mini computers running and robots running through Bloodshot's body. Okay. Now here's the thing. They're all programmed and they're programmed to assist Bloodshot in whichever way, shape or form that means for the battle or the task at hand. Okay. Now what's weird is that's a really ambiguous thing, assist, because that's translated into, you know, super strength. And where he already has super strength, he can boost it. He's already super fast. He can boost it. He's got other powers I'm going to discuss as well. The cool thing is that the nanites kind of operate on a subatomic level, and they can create and manipulate and destroy matter within Bloodshot. So the true limits of Bloodshot's abilities aren't exactly known, right? That's the cool thing. So he can come up with stuff that he had no idea he could do, but the nanites are like, no, you need to be able to do this. Here you go. Boom, you've got it. He's almost got like a magic genie within his body that just doesn't give him great help. It also gives him tactical advice too. And can somehow see outside of his body, you know, through his eyes or what have you. Okay.
How does it give him tactical advice? Like, I mean,
So a number of ways what they'll do, they'll say, for example, if he needs to eat food to get protein to replenish some system within his body, all of a sudden he'll have a hallucination of a previous life of whom he thought was his son and wife who got killed, but it turns out to be just like people who are hired to be them, whatever. And then he'll see a hallucination of his dead son, who's now alive, or dead wife, saying, hey, you really should eat soon. Or, hey, someone's hiding over there. Or so. I mean, it's really interesting and creepy, but really interesting.
That sounds terrifying.
It is terrifying. So when you read the comics, Bloodshot, like, there's levels and layers to Bloodshot.
What does that allow him? When he gets the hallucination of his kid and his...
Yeah, so the kid and the wife, or like Blood Squirt that I mentioned before, okay. They'll say like, not so much Blood Squirt, but they'll say like, hey, you know, so-and-so is probably lying to you, right?
Okay.
Yeah. You know,
okay,
gotcha. And they'll be able to, you know, they give information to Bloodshot in ways where
through hallucinations, they give him information.
Exactly. And through other ways too, by the way, but that's the comprehensiveness of the nanites. Right. And by the way, that's the great writing of Bloodshot. So there's other things that Bloodshot's nanites can do. They can actually exist outside of Bloodshot's body, which is really weird. If they feel it's necessary course of action, the nanites actually exit in part from Bloodshot and attack Bloodshot's opponents. They can churn into weapons that Bloodshot can use. They can find some other way to go on the offense in order, you know, for Bloodshot not to be, like, they can actually enter another opponent. They can, like, go through into her or him. He's been able to share his healing factor, where someone got, you know, he's like, just to demonstrate a point, he takes a knife, cuts someone's finger with it, right? And then he says to her, take your finger, touch my finger with it. And the nanites go from his body to hers, heal her, and go back into Bloodshot. These things are crazy. This is a lot different than what Wolverine can do. The big difference, too, is that the nanites operate on a conscious level somewhat within Bloodshot. So he can almost like talk to them, communicate and influence them as well. The reason why that's important is because Wolverine's healing factor is kind of like what I call like from the lizard brain. So when he has to use it, it's his body. He doesn't make a decision to execute the healing factor. It just goes on its own. This is not just I'm going to heal you, I'm going to bring you back to whatever baseline of health you need. In fact, I might even take you higher if you need to. So he has this monitoring system through the nanites at all times. They're not just part of his powers, they're actually his superpowered and internal partner. Again, they act as a magic genie. I don't know how other way to say it. They act as a second set of eyes, and they give him help in any way they see he needs to get it. That's the real difference between when you look at Wolverine's traditional powers and abilities he's known for, which are awesome. It's the nanites that act really different from what you think. They're not just in his body. They do a lot more. This is what's going to give him the real edge in this fight. That's my point number one.
And that's, I mean, the nanites, I mean, is exactly what I was worried about coming into this competition. Like, because I know the nanites. I know that they can duplicate a lot of what Wolverine's powers are. I do not know the upper limits of what the nanites can do. I have a strange feeling deep down inside. James is sandbagging exactly this full power and magnitude of these nanites. I don't know why I'd be thinking that. I just have a notion.
I'm going to reveal something. I'm not sandbagging that, but I am holding back on something very interesting about Wolverine.
Interesting.
And I'll hold for point number three. But that's go ahead. Fair.
But you know, the one thing about the Nanites is it reminds me of one of my favorite movies of all time, Jason X. When they create
classic
Uber Jason.
Yes.
Yeah. And where they actually take the psychotic killer body of Jason Voorhees, they put him in the nanite machine, and the nanites make him this super enhanced being that's impervious to all damage and what have you. And I'm terrified to go up against Jason X. And I kind of see Bloodshot a little bit as that same kind of character. And that is terrifying to me.
Was it actual nanites, or was it something similar to nanites?
It wasn't exactly the thing that's in Bloodshot, but it did the same thing. Similar idea.
I didn't. And Jason X even survived entry into Earth's orbit from space.
That is correct.
That's insane. Okay. But we're not here to talk about the masterpiece that, again, Meryl Streep passed on, known as Jason X. She made a huge mistake. What do you think? Any questions about point number one?
I mean, I guess the other interesting thing about this, and this happens all the time on Who Would Win, is these guys come from two different universes, right? So adamantium is the toughest metal in our universe. Nanites are the, you know, strongest, I don't even know what you call it, magic genie, like you said, in this universe. So
I like how you said it's going to be, when you talk about adamantium, you said that's the strongest thing in our universe, like that you live in the Marvel universe. Another reason you were so cool.
Well, yeah, it's true. We do live in the Marvel universe, do we not?
I mean, we do.
It's Disney's universe, but you know,
I've been to the Chinese theater. Spider-Man is down there. So clearly that's our universe.
It's fair.
So that's an interesting thing too, is we have to make some assumptions or judgments at some point, like since they're in two different universes.
If I may, I'd say that adamantium is at the very least just as strong as the strongest component within the Valiant comic books universe. Mm-hmm. Right. And then, so they're both at the very least equally strong, but nothing's going to destroy adamantium.
Is there something we can compare nanites to in the Marvel universe? That's, I guess.
Yeah. There's something called Extremis for Iron Man, who eventually took his Iron Man uniform or armor and made it into nanites that existed within his body. And that went to his commands. It were like living computers within his body. So instead of having a command or give a command for the armor to come to him or fly to him, it actually existed within him. And it just would, whenever he needed it, he'd access it and tell it, hey, come on out, and boom, he'd have it right there.
Okay, that makes sense. Do you agree with that, Ray?
That seems fine to me. And I'm glad to hear James talking up adamantium, because previously in the General Grievous versus Blade competition, you made the point that adamantium could withstand it being hit by a lightsaber. So had you made that point then and not agreed about adamantium now, I would have had my gotcha moment of the century of fraudulent arguing. But you did not. All credit to you and your integrity on this matter. I will just accept all of that, because like I say, I'm learning things. I might, if I smell BS, James, just because I don't necessarily know everything about Bloodshot, if I start smelling something, I'm going to rake you over the coals over it. But for right now, that is all as I understand Bloodshot to be.
All right. Well, then go ahead and hit us with point number two.
Point number two is, let's just talk a little bit about his training. And I want to take more time to talk about this adamantium claws. We did talk about the power of the adamantium before, and this is why I'm glad James is giving me all the credit with the adamantium claws. Wolverine has gotten victories and cut heroes, which generally are uncuttable. I've got here frames where I found in the research for this, trying to look for specific examples. He pierced Thor. Thor, the god of thunder, his adamantium claws right into his, I believe his chest right there, and really messed up Thor really, really bad. There was a net, and this is what's strange to me. There was a net. I don't really even know what the net was made of, but I found that Ghost Rider was wrapped in this net, and Ghost Rider, who can just basically teleport dimensions and go straight to the underworld and come back again. Don't ask me how this writing works, but Ghost Rider is under that net going, oh, I can't get out of the net. Blah! And Wolverine just walked over and he's like, snick, 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 and we're done. He cut the net right open as if it was absolutely nothing. There's something called Omnium bars, which were encased
delicious
around. Thank you. They sound very tasty. The Hulk couldn't get his way. The freaking Hulk couldn't get out of his way of these Omnium bars. And once again, Wolverine walks over, does a little snickety stick, and boom, bars are cut. Hulk's free. And so, like, essentially, if Bloodshot tries to put anything between Wolverine and himself, and Wolverine being the great tracker, you know, he's going to have to do that. You know, he's not even going to be very effective at it, near as I can tell. Military training will only get you so far against an enhanced senses human being. He's just going to keep cutting right through it. There's really literally nothing you can put in front of Wolverine that he can't use his claws to just cut through and then get to you. And it's not like Wolverine's afraid to stab people. Wolverine goes stabby, stabby, friggin' all the time. And the other thing I want to point out is his training, because I think it's very, very important to know that Wolverine, being a character who's from the 1800s, so at this point, well over 100, maybe even 150 years old, maybe not quite that, but, you know, approaching 150. I think it's like he was born like 1880.
Yeah, so that's closer. That's over, that's, yeah, exactly. You're right.
Yeah, it's like 140 or whatever, well, depending on what year. I mean, but he's very, very
Canadian
old.
Canadian years, too.
Canadian years. Oh, that's like 1.05 years compared to an American year. Right. Yeah, it's crazy. And so he's got all that military training from his time there. He's got the circus training from the brief. And I didn't even know about that when I started to look into Wolverine. You think you know a guy, and then you find out he worked in the circus. Like, that blew me away. But he's got tons and tons of training. And my favorite example of the training is that he's constantly pushing his own limits inside the danger room at the X-Men school. And the danger room, you know, the VR room that creates real holograms that will fight you for real, and you can take the safeties off or not. Oftentimes, Wolverine is spending countless hour after countless hour, because he doesn't really like hanging out with people. He just wants to work on himself, and I respect that in a man. He spends countless hours in the danger room set to literally the maximum setting physically possible and will endure for hours doing those fights in the danger room. If that doesn't prepare him to fight a one-on-one battle against Bloodshot, and again, the unknown unknowns are probably going to come back to bite me in the butt on this one. But that's a heck of a lot of training. That's a heck of a lot of an accomplishment. And that is my point number two.
I have absolutely nothing against anything you just said.
Excellent.
I really don't.
I'm shocked by that.
I know. I am too. I'm like, I'm waiting. You see me. I've got my notes. I'm ready to go. I'm actively listening. And I'm like, no, that sounds all about correct. I can't shoot a hole in anyone. That's out of respect for Wolverine. And also realizing uphill battle. But I think I got it. But anyway, Brent, what do you think about his point number two?
Again, we're dealing with different universes. So would you say that when he's in the danger room, he's being prepared for anything that could happen in his universe? Any universe?
I can definitely say it's specifically his universe, because they're usually fighting Sentinels or high powered individuals that they would be fighting on the field. It is preparing them specifically for dealings in the Marvel universe, and specifically the mutant X-Men universe. 100%. So yes, anything that Bloodshot's bringing, but my understanding of the Valiant Comics Bloodshot universe is it's pretty similar to our own. It's not so drastically. It's not like they have, you know, everybody's in flying cars and can teleport places in magic machines. It's basically the world that we live in today. So I don't know that this is, you're right.
I just wonder.
It's not a specific thing.
They had crossovers where both, like, the rules of both universes apply to each other.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you know, specifically, you know, like, they've got the training thing in the Batcave too, right?
That same Bruce kind of deal.
Okay. Yeah, so they pretty much, like, try to throw many different types of things at you.
They do, but to your point, and I think you're actually raising a good point right now, and I wish you weren't, but it is specifically for things the X-Men are likely to face. There might be some surprises and stuff thrown in, but all of the and I'm dealing mostly my knowledge of the animated series, because I haven't watched a ton of it. I mean, heck, I'm so excited about everything.
The Danger Room is actually way more comprehensive. As great as the animated series was, that's the 90s. Now it's like even more comprehensive.
But it's still programmed by somebody who only knows the universe that we're in right now. There will be surprises, but nothing that can't be possible.
So would you say that they would not be expecting to face, like, let's say a toddler with a very sharp, sarcastic tongue might come in and just cut Wolverine to pieces with his sharp, sarcastic tongue? Is that what you're saying, or would you say?
I'll be honest, I don't know that I'm not saying that. That's a strange point to be making, but I'll go with you.
No,
what kind of kids are you hanging out with?
Only ones with sharp, sarcastic
tongues. I'm kind of trying to give you more of a lifeline. I think that, like, even though probably they are facing things that they're most likely going to battle. All types of things.
They do.
Right?
And they fight all manner of all different types of creatures. If James comes at me with something that could not be possibly conceived of in the Marvel universe in the Danger Room, I don't want that also to be the thing that hangs me.
Right.
So I just want to leave it out there that it is very, very intense training.
I will not.
Okay, great. Then yes, absolutely. Exactly to what you're saying, Brent. 100%. I will stop couching it.
Okay.
Okay. Point number two, Brent. Shall we do it?
Yeah.
All right. Point number two. Okay. Bloodshot has many different powers and abilities. Now we're going to really further separate Bloodshot from Wolverine. Okay, let's talk about the healing factor he has. It's not really a healing factor as much as it's a repairing factor. So what happens if he gets stabbed, or when he's shot or stabbed or what have you? Well, the nanites repair him very quickly, right? And they'll kind of go on overdrive or automatic pilot, I should say, and just say, like, oh, wow, a claw, three sets of claws just came through you. No problem. We'll do this around him. Claws are out. We're good to go, right? they will automatically take any stab wound. You know, Bloodshot has this great power called I think it's a synaptic blast. It's a telepathic attack. Ooh. Where he shoots out a psychic attack, but it's so strong, it actually blows his face off. Literally. So one comic book, it was so cool. He's sitting, he's bound by a chair, hands right back, he's smiling, he's laughing, he's like, and there's this powerful telepath, forget his name, but he's a super powerful telepath. He's standing right in front of him. There's a bunch of other henchmen, and he's just sitting there like, wow, you guys are screwed. All right, here we go. And he activates the synaptic attack from his nanites. They shoot out the psychic energy. Everyone gets knocked backwards, knocked out. The telepath has his eyes roll up into his head, and Bloodshot's sitting there with his hands, you know, behind him going like, with his face kind of flopping off. And he's like, yeah, I maybe really should have rethought doing that so quick or whatever. You know what I mean? So he's got these crazy ways. And of course, he repairs himself very, very quickly. So getting stabbed in the eye, in the brain, or anything, all stuff, because he's been shot in the head before, Bloodshot has, he's been like horribly wrecked, split apart, what have you, or like chunks coming off, he repairs himself, right? It's, or the nanites repair him. And the thing is, they'll even take him past. So if all of a sudden he's fighting someone who has claws, they won't just repair Wolverine, or sorry, Bloodshot, they'll actually augment him through the repair process. It's like if you take your car in to a mechanic, the mechanic's like, wow, cool, I fixed your tires and I also upgraded your radiator, right? Because I thought, because I what screwed up your tires, you also need a better radiator for it. Same kind of equivalent for Bloodshot's nanites. Now let's talk about his other powers. Bloodshot's nanites enable Bloodshot to survive underwater. This is a key difference. Now, I'm not sure how this will even come into play, but Wolverine, one of the ways to kill him is to drown him. You put him underwater, he drowns. His healing factor wakes him up, then he drowns again because he's still underwater, right? That's the thing. And it's theorized that he can only do that so often before his brain deteriorates, and his brain is directly related to his healing factor. Now, Bloodshot doesn't have that limitation. You break his brain, the nanites will act as his brain and fix his brain because they already have an imprint of his brain programmed into it. They know what he's supposed to be doing and how what's everything's supposed to be looking like. Gets damaged, we got the blueprint, we'll just reinstate that. We're good to go.
So he's basically memory foam.
He's that is the best way to put it, right? Yeah. Memory foam that can get better as a foam, I guess. He also has the ability to camouflage and to blend into his environment. So he'll walk out of the water and there's water and bushes, and the nanites will camouflage his body, not like air or water, but like into the actual background. So it's as if he's walking behind or in front of a screen and is completely transparent of that TV screen. So you just see everything. He walks in front of it. So it changes as he blends or as he walks in front of different types of settings that he's in. This is one of my favorite ones. He can shoot powerful blasts of radiation. Somehow the energy created or the heat created by the nanites can get stored or something along those lines, and he can shoot out radiation in a really, really strong blast. I don't think it's like a repeat thing. I think it's one strong blast of radiation. He can, again, I've already mentioned this, when he's already super fast, when he needs more speed, he communicates to his nanites, literally says, hey, need more speed. They speed him up. I need more strength. They give him extra strength. Oh, wow. Uh-oh, I need to be a bit more durable. They reinforce his skin. Like, this is the cool part. Now, of course, they're not going to turn him into Superman, but they give him, like, maybe up his factor by, you know, one or two times, right? He can also completely change his appearance so he appears as other people. In other words, he can shapeshift, which is really crazy. So we're not talking about he can turn himself into an elephant, but he can turn himself into another person who's around the same size. You know, I guess like either a woman or a man or whatever, who's around 180, whatever, or can make him compact himself so he can look smaller or whatever, but he can shapeshift. I already talked about the synaptic, you know, blast, the synaptic burst he can shoot out. Here's one of my favorites. He can also do what's called ghost mode. Now, this one's really interesting, where his body can completely go intangible like a ghost and also invisible. He can do one or the other or both combined. So if all of a sudden Wolverine is smelling him or trying to track him and he goes ghost, well, he'll lose his scent because now his body's not really tangible anymore. So he has a great way, not just through camouflage, because if he camouflages himself, Wolverine will smell him and say, like, no, I know who you are. He goes ghost and either it goes intangible or invisible or both. He won't be able to track him.
But can he, while he's ghost, though, can he still attack or is he just...
Thank you.
That's my question.
I'm going to assume if he's completely intangible that but invisible, he would have to make himself tangible before attacking.
Okay.
But think about it that way. Like, all of a sudden, he's getting attacked by Wolverine. He goes ghost. Boom. He's done. Now, all of a sudden, he can sneak up or do what it just helps with his
stuff. How often can he go ghost? Is that something he is like the nuclear blast where he could do it one time?
I believe that one because it takes, supposedly, the nanites work on energy reserves, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, it's not a limitation, but if they need to rebuild him and the damage is insanely severe, they're like, okay, we need you to eat. Like, you got to eat something so we can build you up more. In a battle, this is like where he's caught in an explosion and completely ripped up to shreds. And he's like on an ambulance, blah, blah, blah. They need to work on him now. So if he can do the, because it takes less energy, he can do that continuously and for longer periods of time. Also, the nanites, one last thing, they, when they operate out of his body, they can also control tech because he can also interface with tech of all types. One time, as basic as like even an ambulance. One time he's in an ambulance, he's like, hey, I need to get out of here. They're like, no, we're not. We got to take the hospital. His nanites came out of his body and stopped the ambulance. Mm-hmm. How that works, again, I don't know, but it was really cool. So he's got so many different powers and abilities that will help him in a fight with Wolverine, never mind something that's like a healing factor, just a lot different, more of a repair factor. That's right. My point number two.
And okay. That's a lot of good stuff. And I knew about the ability to control and manipulate electronics. That is something where these two have a very similar power set. That is something that he does have over Wolverine. I'm not even the judge in this battle, but I'm going to need to see an example of how that makes any difference whatsoever over the course of a battle.
Which power?
The ability to take over machines.
Well, it's just to show the breadth of the power set, so to speak.
The other thing about it is you talk about energy reserves, and I'm so excited about that because I've been waiting for the thing that I can pick on and pick apart. He has a finite supply of energy, and Wolverine really does not. The healing factor of Wolverine keeps his endurance up at a very, very high level. And to your own admission just now, Bloodshot eventually is going to run out of juice. And I don't think Wolverine's, in the course of this battle, going to give him enough time to go grab a ham sandwich in order to rebuild himself.
Okay, so it's true that Bloodshot does need resources every once in a while in case like he needs like raw material, building materials for the nanites to say, hey, we need protein so we can build up, blah, blah, blah. Wolverine, by the way, is theorized. It's not a magical healing power. It is a resource-based healing power. I will say probably he needs less resources than Bloodshot does, because I haven't seen the equivalent where Bloodshot just needs a little bit. But I do know, and it has been written in different parts of Marvel wikis for different articles, that Wolverine can't indefinitely heal himself. I mean, he's immortal and all that, but it's like if all of a sudden he needs to regrow an arm, it's not like there's magical components that regrow it. It has to come from somewhere. That whole law of conservation of matter and all that still applies to Wolverine in some way, shape, or form.
That's fair. I see you talk about reserve storage and needing to eat things, and I just know Wolverine's not going to give him a chance.
That's definitely a limitation on Bloodshot. I'll give you that.
Yep. Cool. That's all I have to say about that.
Can he heal himself while he's ghosting, or is that taking his energy to be the ghost?
I believe he can.
Okay.
I believe he can.
What do you think, right? Is that, I mean, I just.
I think that's why he would use energy.
I know he would use energy, but that's why he would go ghost.
But he might be able to slowly regenerate while he's ghosting?
He would. That's why he would ghost in the first place. It's not just to attack someone, it's also to get away if he needed to for the moment.
And I actually can't fight that. I wish I could. I wish off the top of my head I had a great answer for that. But Wolverine uses all of his five senses in order to track people and do it. And I am learning now just about this intangibility thing. And yes, if you're intangible, you don't give off a scent because you're not really there.
We wish Ray had intangibility.
There are many times I wish in crowded elevators I had intangibility, but that's a separate story for another podcast.
All right, we're at the turning point, by the way, and this is where you, Brent Pope, tell us who you think is in the lead and what the other person has to do to pull out a victory. So what you got?
Okay, I don't even know if I can say who's in the lead at this point, because these characters are very similar. There are some differences, which we've noted, and I'm still kind of waiting for that knockout punch from one or the other. I do want to encourage you in your third point, because I'm always a big stickler of this is a random encounter, so... I am also there's no outside interference. There's certain things we talked about that I was like, well,
important to the rules.
You said they were like in a bar. Well, let's say it's a giant roadhouse in like the movie Roadhouse. This is where we are. So there's not a giant pool there for Wolverine to be drowned in. I mean, if we were right by the ocean, maybe something like that, right? I mean,
thing I would say is I do the little story off the top to set the mood, to set the tone,
but it
to
makes
get people
sense.
Excited. It's not necessarily the word of the Lord
But it makes sense to me that these two guys would have just a bar fight.
That made sense to me.
Does that make sense to you, James?
It does.
Is that okay for you as like the...
I'm glad you're allowing me to say I allow it, because I allow it.
Okay, cool. Well, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. I don't want,
no bitterness coming.
No
from
bitterness
me.
For me, for either at the end. So what I guess I really need then is, in addition to what you guys are going to tell me, is like try to give me a scenario in which somebody, how you see it actually playing out. Like, what is the scenario under which Bloodshot incapacitates Wolverine, or Wolverine incapacitates long enough, or kills them, or whatever will win the battle?
I got you.
All right.
Sounds good.
That sounds good. I think I got something. I'm not sure. Again,
I do
battle.
As well.
I'm a little nervous about this, but I'm going to do Bloodshot proud. Ray, what you got for number three?
We need to talk about how Wolverine is one of the most dominant fighters ever in the history of Marvel. A universe-spanning concept of Ultimate Fighters. Let's talk about, and then afterwards, I'll give you a brief moment on how I think Wolverine pulls this off. Some of the people that Wolverine has defeated, okay? Literally the entire Marvel Universe. Literally, he has killed every single person in the Marvel Universe. There is a comic called What If? Enemy of the State. And Brent, you're laughing. You know what I'm talking about. Wolverine basically goes crazy and kills literally every single person. So every single character who shows up in Marvel is murdered in this comic by Wolverine. So he has shown the ability to not just defeat, it says itself, kill every single member of the universe. But let's talk about some more specific examples. That is a one-off, and it is sort of its own fun.
It's a good one-off, though.
It's a fun comic. I love the Deadpool kills the Marvel Universe, and also Deadpool kills the Marvel Universe again. These are fun comics, but I'm not going to try to put my entire argument on the backs of this one kind of fun what-if comic. Let's talk about some of the more specific examples. Characters that he's beaten. He's beaten the Hulk in a fight, which you wouldn't think his diminutive size and what have you, he could withstand the Hulk, but he did. I mentioned before, he pierced Thor, the God of Thunder, another top-level Marvel character. He's got wins over Namor, the Seaman, their version of Aquaman. Did I pronounce it wrong?
You pronounced it the French way, which was cool.
Namor.
Namor.
It felt good to
Namor.
Me.
Remember when I was selling my Namor number one?
I do.
Yeah. Got a lot of money for it. That's good.
He's got a victory where he knocked the bejesus out of Venom. Venom, a character who
my favorite verb, by the way, saying bejesus.
I love it. I think it's the second time I've used it in a couple of weeks, so that's great. I'll try to use it more often. The idea of Venom being another character, and this is why I bring it up, because of Bloodshot's healing factor. Venom is known for self-healing very, very well, being an alien symbiote. And he just beat him up so hard that essentially he separated the two, I believe it was Eddie Brock, from the Venom character. He beat up not just the Hulk, but Mr. Fix-It, the Las Vegas mobster version of Hulk, who is my favorite. Yeah, he's pretty great.
The Brent Pope of Hulks.
Oh, yeah.
He sparred once with Iron Fist, who is known as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, martial artist in the Marvel Universe, and sparred with him, but you could say he got over on Iron Fist as well. And he fought Captain America, another one of the best trained hand-to-hand combatants. I mean, obviously, he's not really going to kill Captain America unless it's this what-if comic, but because they fought together on D-Day, for gosh sakes. But he fought Captain America to a draw in another sparring match, and Captain America is always going to bring the heat. And then my favorite example of a Wolverine victory is when he defeated himself in battle through the magic of Marvel Comics. There was a moment where he was forced to fight himself. And wouldn't you know, in a battle of Wolverine versus Wolverine, Wolverine won that battle.
Never saw that coming. That's
but he also lost the battle.
Well, other him lost the battle, but I'm not debating other him. I'm debating the winner him.
But they're both him.
In a manner of speaking. Mm. So the way that I think he defeats Bloodshot now, and I know, because I know James Gaffsey, and I know that Point Three is going to blow me up real, real hard with some stuff that I can't even conceive of. So I'm just going to give a very simple way. Wolverine, not necessarily a very complex character. There's some complexity to him, but he's a fairly straightforward in what he wants and what he's trying to do. Let's do a straightforward battle plan. He fights with Bloodshot. They trade blows back and forth. They heal both up in front of each other and say, ooh, we both do the same thing. Bloodshot, I mean, has his weapons and what have you that's going to hurt Wolverine, not take him down. Wolverine's going to claw Bloodshot, maybe like hack a limb off, but he's going to grow it back. The way I think Wolverine wins this battle is they get in close and they're wrestling with each other. And I think Wolverine takes his three claws, he puts them through the chest of Bloodshot and pins him to the ground. My understanding of Bloodshot's nanotechnology is that as long as the claws stay in him, he cannot heal around the claws because the claws are still there. We've established that adamantium is the strongest thing and that the nanotechnology could not affect the adamantium in any given way because it's the strongest. So if Wolverine, to win this battle, just pins him down with these three spikes through his chest, I don't see a way Bloodshot gets out of it. He could hold him down for 2 minutes, declare victory, and then safely walk away. That is how I think Wolverine wins this battle. And that is my point number three.
Wait, if I may. So if he pins him for 2 minutes, Wolverine's still there. Do you think Bloodshot will be alive?
Mm-hmm.
I agree. He won't be able to cut through the claws in his body, but he'll be alive and dealing with it. You're saying he's just going to lie there? He's not going
to
fight back?
What's he going to be able to do about it? He's got three spikes through his chest.
But we've already established the nanites will help him like deal with it, and they'll keep him alive.
Spike's still going to be in his chest. We've said before, incapacitation is a perfectly acceptable way.
But
I consider being pinned to the ground, not for the count of 1, 2, 3 like the pro wrestling world, but for the count of 2 minutes is enough to win a battle.
But he can't. He's not safely walking away or safely being out of danger. He's still right in close proximity.
You know what? I trust Brent Pope as a... Oh, I can't even say that out loud with a straight face. Maybe this is going to work against me, but unfortunately, this is the best way I see that he's going to win this battle against Bloodshot. I think it's going to work, and I think that Brent Pope will see it the same way that I do. God bless me.
Well, that was well argued, Ray.
Okay. May I offer a rebuttal before
sure.
you? Okay. I actually agree that both Bloodshot and Wolverine will quickly figure out that they both have healing factors. Or regenerative factor, whatever you want to call it. Wolverine beat all these characters you brought up. Hulk, Thor, and all that. He was at full force with his healing factor intact, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Just putting that out there. So he beat them with the healing factor intact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has the ability to take damage, and the healing factor is how he is able to win these battles. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. All right.
Before Why I do start, I feel like I'm really not going to like this point?
You're not going to like this point at all. Okay, so Wolverine's also, I think the most similar person in that Bloodshot matches up with is, oddly enough, it's not Wolverine, it's Deadpool. And what's really interesting is because Deadpool's healing factor operates a lot more like Bloodshot's than Wolverine's, okay? If you remove Wolverine's head from his body, typically his body's not moving around independently. You do that to Deadpool in the comics, his body's still moving around. He can communicate with his head. Hulk can do the same thing. Okay, when Wolverine fought Deadpool, and that's the other thing. I remember Wolverine won once, Deadpool won twice. But again, it was in their own respective comic books. Okay, so let me go to my point.
You got to do a little bit of grain of salt when it comes to which comic book are you fighting in, because that's probably who's going to win.
Okay, let me go to point number three. Here's the deal. There's not really a lot of ways to beat Wolverine, right? There's just not. And this is really frustrating, but I had to figure this out. In Marvel Comics, we said it's been established you can drown him. Told you why. You can also decapitate him. The reason why is because the vertebrae, the spinal cord itself, or the vertebrae, they're adamantium, but the connective tissue between the vertebrae that allows him to move his head and everything, that's not adamantium. So if you can somehow slip between, you can decapitate him. That's just a weird thing. I'm not saying that's how Bloodshot's going to do it, because how is he going to know? And even I don't know. Here's the one way I think you can do it. And it's been done to Wolverine before. Remember, his nanites are super, not super, but they're computers. They're always learning. They're coming up with things and they can figure stuff out about him. Okay, so they start to fight. Bloodshot and Wolverine both understand they have mutual healing factors. One way to kill Wolverine is to turn off his healing factor and then attack him when the healing factor is off. And that's been done several times within Marvel Comics. So certain types of swords have done that to Wolverine. I think it's like an Omarasa or some type of weird sword that's done it. But there's also one way in particular that was used that will work really well for Bloodshot. In X-Men issue 5, Cyclops injected nanites into Wolverine to shut off his healing factor. Now these nanites, there you go, Ray, sorry. These nanites were programmed
that's what I was waiting
to do
for.
So. Yeah. Once the healing factor was turned off, Wolverine was quickly dispatched by Cyclops, okay? So remember, Bloodshot's nanites are super intelligent. And, you know, what would they do in this battle? I see the nanites, at least a portion of them, going outside of Bloodshot's body like he's done before. You can still pierce Wolverine because he's not, you know, dirt invulnerable. You can still stab him and make him bleed. So it'll go through his mouth, his nose, ears, whatever, through a piercing through his body and get into his system. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to figure out, oh, cool, this is what is used to turn him, you know, to use his healing factor. We're going to negate that. I see that they will, especially with everything else they can do for Bloodshot, give him radioactive powers, ghost him, give him camouflage powers, all that. They're going to be able to churn off Wolverine's healing factor. Now, once his healing factor is off and they keep on fighting, what do you think is going to happen? They're both going to be hitting each other with punches, slashes, whatever they're doing, tons of damage. The only difference is at that point, Wolverine's not healing anymore, but Bloodshot is. Yeah, and I feel kind of, even with adamantium bones, they'll work around it, right? The adamantium bones are great against like blunt trauma and all that, but you still can shoot him in the heart. You can still shoot into his brain, all that kind of stuff, especially the nanites are in there. So with Bloodshot's nanites providing physical powers, abilities, and upgrades whenever and whichever way Bloodshot needs them, his set of additional powers that include morphing, camouflage, radioactive blast, ghost mode, telepathic attack, and super strength, speed, and durability, and the fact that the nanites have a clear method of removing Wolverine's healing factor that's already been done to him before in pretty much the exact same way, it's pretty clear that Bloodshot has a good chance of winning this battle, at least the first encounter. And that's my point number three.
And well argued. I knew that there was going to be, I knew you were going to have an angle, and that's fine. And is that angle even good enough? And here's the argument that I would have against what you just said. the nanotechnology bites would try to go inside of Wolverine. Now, my question is, would his healing factor not immediately try to fight them off? We've seen in the X-Men, at least in the movies, and I know I've seen it in the comic books as well, he gets shot with a bullet. The bullet just pops right back out of him. I mean, who's to say that with this healing factor of Wolverine, especially being amped up to 11 the way that Wolverine is, that the nanobots do not go into his body and are immediately rejected by his body?
I'll tell you why. Because in X-Men number 5, they weren't rejected there. They stayed in his body. And I guarantee you the nanites, the nanobots, or the nanites that Bloodshot has are a lot more intelligent, comprehensive, and better built than the ones Cyclops kind of MacGyvered for that Wolverine encounter.
No, I'm just going to have to chalk that up to a one-time example and say it should be stricken from the record entirely. I firmly believe that in this battle, Wolverine brings a heck of a lot more to the table, and he has all the tools, all the enhanced senses, the adamantium. It's just stuff that Bloodshot cannot get over. And the nanobites and all that silliness, out, sure, and that sounds good and all, but I think put into practice, it would not go the way that you say it would go.
I completely disagree. Okay, we got to go to the judge here. Brent, you've heard both sides of the story. You've heard Ray. You've heard me. How you doing? So who do you think wins this fight? Take us through your process. Tell us who the victor is.
All right. So I think you both did a really good job arguing what your strengths and weaknesses are, the differences between the two. Ray, I think you're going to be, you know, pleasantly surprised.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Okay. I knew it was an uphill battle.
Wolverine's a great character. So yeah. Thank you.
It's very... You know, it's just really tough to get over on Wolverine with his adamantium skeleton.
Lay it on me, Brent.
Skeleton.
Lay it on me. I've been waiting. You know how long I've been waiting for this moment? This is outstanding.
Should I say congratulations now? Or what?
So, you're basically, I liked your argument where you pinned him. I also like your argument where you said the nanites invaded his body.
Yeah.
And so I'm just thinking, if he's got him pinned to the ground, could the nanites then invade his body? Yes or no?
They'd be too busy healing him, obviously, to try to even do anything offensively.
A portion of them would, but the rest would go out.
And thank you, Brent. I can't believe I'm saying this. Thank you. Yes, I agree 100%.
So, I don't know. I think it's a really tough battle. And like you said, maybe the first time you would win. You think maybe the first time Wolverine would win. But I think, ultimately, when we see our victor exiting the bar and they emerge, Ray's eyes will feel a little... Bloodshot. Because Bloodshot.
What?
Just squirted by.
Unbelievable.
Why did I believe? What's wrong with me? I know better than to believe.
Did you like that emotional journey?
It's the intoxication of Brent Pope as the judge. I got sucked in.
But I lost your. I said you would be pleasantly surprised. I used your.
I'm not pleasantly
specific
surprised.
Thing where I had him pinned down and he's still lost.
I'm surprised.
Wait. Okay. So
it's not
Bloodshot
pleasant.
Wins. That's your decision.
Bloodshot wins.
Unbelievable.
I
can't believe it. This is probably the greatest victory I've ever had in the history of who would win. I thought this, like, Wolverine is beyond iconic. I had no idea, but I got to tell you, I agree with you, Brent Pope. My argument was fantastic.
You know, and it was very, very even. And then what I kept thinking about was how Blood Squirt, you know, Wolverine's kind of fighting by himself, right? Bloodshot has Blood Squirt. Who sits there, you know, like Burgess Meredith, like Burgess Meredith in the Rocky movies. Yeah. Still, get up, Bloodshot. You gotta fight him. You know, he's getting that extra motivation from the outside. And I think that may be just what puts him just over the top. And also, I would say specifically, you gave me a scenario and an exact comic, an issue that it happened in with a lesser version of the nanites.
I got two things that are very, very upsetting to me right now at this moment. One, I can't believe I let you do that to me, Brent Pope. I really thought you were taking me on a happy place journey, and that ended up being fraudulent. But second off,
I thought you'd be happy I used your scenario. I mean, you still lost, but
I don't disagree with you, and it's killing me right now. I honestly, you caught me by surprise, James, with the Cyclops nanobots thing. That is not an encounter I knew about. It's not an encounter I was ready for. I understand why you saved it for the very end of the battle for your gosh darn intoxicating third point.
That's what I do.
Brent, As much as I think you, in Kraven Nightwing, you completely screwed the pooch, and in Thanos Goku, you wildly made a tactically horrific decision. I lost this battle, and I should lose this battle. Bloodshot would beat Wolverine based on these arguments, and that makes me less happy somehow. I'd rather lose and get screwed and be outraged for a little bit, but at least go home knowing I won, than this scenario where I think that the right call was made and it wasn't for me.
It was a victory. It's by the skin of my teeth. And there's, because when I started looking at who Wolverine has beaten, which is everybody.
Literally everyone.
Everybody. Yeah. And everyone's scared of Wolverine, the Marvel Universe. And everyone really respects it. And I'm like, this is, how do we do this? I had to go deep, man. I had to go real deep.
Yep.
And take that as a compliment to Brent Pope for seeing how good my argument was.
I take it as a compliment.
You should, Brent. That was excellent. All right.
Ray, if it makes you feel better, next time... Yes. Since you said it feels better when you get screwed than when you actually lose.
Wait a minute.
If you're winning, I'll just flip it on you at the end so that you lose, because that makes you feel better. That's what he said, right? He feels better when he gets screwed.
I'm so enraged by you right now.
I'm not sure I understand the context. But okay, one last observation. You've been on the show how many times, Brent?
This is 3 times.
And how many times have you declared me the winner?
3 times.
Excellent. You know what? I think we need you on almost every episode.
I'm down.
Okay, good. Just putting that out there. And Ray, thank you so much for introducing Brent Pope to the show, a good friend of yours.
Yeah, mistakes were clearly made on my part.
I don't know. I call it it was a mistake on your part, actually, yeah, clearly. Yep. Okay, so Brent, excellent battle. Thank you so much for this. Please tell everyone where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Scoops Pope. And I keep plugging this because it's I like to plug things way ahead of time, but I am actually going to be launching the Brentfest podcast. You can find it on my website, brentpope.com, and at his Twitter handle, which is Brentfest Podcast. And it's going to be very exciting. Maybe I'll have whoever's more famous of you two, I'll have on my podcast.
Well, I guess I'll never be on the show.
It would be an honor to be on the show, especially if Ray's not.
Well, apparently you guys are having secret lunches that I don't know about. So why not a secret breakfast on top of it?
I called you and told you we're having lunch. You're not invited. It's not like it was secret.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Ray, please tell our listeners where they can find you.
You can find me sulking in a local tavern near you that's been recently destroyed by Bloodshot and Wolverine's combat, drinking back many, many bourbons in order to make this pain, this numbness go away. Brent, I don't know how you keep doing this and finding new ways to discourage me in life. Good on you, first off, for making me feel again. I appreciate that.
You were a little dead on the inside for a while.
I mean, still dead on the inside, but you can find me at Almighty Ray on Twitter. You can also check out Knowing Is Half the Podcast, the G.I. Joe Recap Show. If you want to talk about 80s and 90s cartoons, we watch different episodes and talk about them and have a good time.
Excellent. You can find me posing my patented question of the day on Twitter at James Gavsey. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and to be part of our growing community. And check out the Who Would Win website at www.whowouldwinshow.com to access all of our podcast episodes, as well as to check out some great articles. On behalf of myself, Ray Cicanas, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win team, thank you once again for listening to another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.